Thank you, Dr. Bruce Cobbler. Thank you very much, man. And Bruce, keep swinging, baby. Keep swinging. We wish you lots of luck with your new book, man, your new projects. We really do. And thanks for coming on. You're a treasure. Thank you very much. Our good friend, Dan Britt, who lives over in New Jersey. Now, you know, Dan, we're not going to hold that against you, living in New Jersey, that is. Anyway, Dan finds out through a local friend of his that a drummer for the famous legendary singer, songwriter, Harry Chapin, lives not too far away. You know, so Dan catches up with him, this guy, Howard Fields, and asks him to check out, you know, drumradio.com. He does. He loves it. He loves the Drum Radio show. And then he tells Dan that he wants to be in the show. So, with no further ado, here's Howard Fields, a found treasure for drumradio.com, who used to play with the legendary songwriter Harry Chapin.
Hi, Rick. Hi, everybody. It's great to be here. I was only recently directed to Drum Radio, and I took a look at it, and I think it's a great thing that you're doing out there.
Thank you very much. That's big kudos coming from you. Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that.
Happy to be here.
I do. So tell me, what you been up to, man?
Well, gee, like any musician, I'm just trying to make a living playing, and I also do a bunch of teaching. I teach here in my Bergenfield, New Jersey studio. I have quite a nice clientele of students. And apart from that, I'm drummer for hire. I do any number of different types of gigs, and always looking for something new and interesting. And but probably the my gig of choice these days are the shows that I do with the Chapin family. We've been doing that for the past 10 years. I play in a couple of different offshoots of that. I play in the Steve Chapin Band, which is Harry's brother Steve and myself and John Wallace, who is Harry's bass player. And actually now Steve's son and John's son have joined the band in the past year or so. So we do shows in that entity, and we also do a show that's called the Harry Chapin, A Celebration in Song, in which Harry's other brother, Tom, enters the picture, and his three daughters, who are just stupendous singers. And and added to that is their luminary drummer father, Jim Chapin. And he's a part of the show, and I believe he's 86 now, and he is just a super addition to the show. One of the high points of the performances are his drum solo. And he does a song or two. He's a little known fact. He's a songwriter, also has been for a long time, and he sings a couple of his own songs. So anyway, that's
isn't that amazing though? You know, I never made that connection. Jim Chapin, father to the legendary Harry Chapin, singer-songwriter.
That's right. Well, you know,
I never made that connection, man. I've had him on the show numerous times, and I never made that connection.
Oh, you have? Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, of course. He's a legend. Are you kidding me? Jim, he's unbelievable.
Jim's tailor-made for your show.
Oh, you're not kidding, man. It's hard to get a word in edgewise with Jim around, man. But he's great, though. I love him, man.
But, you know, it's interesting what you said, that you never made the connection.
No.
You know, kind of it reminds me of a story. You know, Harry's daughter, Jen Chapin, is quite the songwriter and singer. She's got a couple of CDs out, and she's out performing all the time. And she, as well, is a part of the show I mentioned, Harry Chapin, A Celebration in Song. But the story she tells that I like, when she was at Berklee Music School out there, and she really didn't like to throw her last name, her famous last name, around too much. But occasionally when, it would be known to a group of people that her name was Jen Chapin, they'd say, "Jen? You mean you're related to Jim Chapin?" So
Jim Chapin, okay.
Yeah, so it depends, you know, what calling circle of musicians you're in. You know, certain circles of musicians would be blown away that she's Harry Chapin's daughter, but there are other calling circles of musicians who are blown away that she's Jim Chapin's granddaughter, you know.
Wow, that's great, man. That's,
yeah, so...
That's incredible. That's a great story.
Oh, yes.
That is, I have a story for you. I have a friend of mine that his name is Ronnie Amendola. He used to own a restaurant in the Bronx called the Chateau Pelham. I don't know if this was before your time, but he used to sing there at the Chateau Pelham. They used to have like a lounge type of thing, and they had a stage, and they had they had acts come in, you know, live acts, of course, and Harry used to go and sing there. And they were like kind of like a little bit miffed because it was at the time when, you know, rock and roll was just on a fade and disco was coming out. And here comes, you know, Harry Chapin. And lo and behold, he became this huge star, you know. And Ronnie still talks about that today. He goes, I can't believe that guy sang in my place. And I didn't know what a treasure he was, man.
That was before Harry became well known.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Just amazing. But, you know, of course, the show that he did, you know, he came out, he sat on a chair with the guitar, and he just mesmerized everybody in the place, you know. It was just wild, you know. But it was more like a dance club than it was anything else. You know, they did weddings at this place, and then the lounge, they also had like a little dance floor for, you know, for dancing and stuff. So most of the acts that were there, I played there a couple of times with my band. You know, it was for dancing and stuff like that. But, you know, they booked Harry into the place, and you just mesmerized the place. They couldn't, they loved him. They loved him.
Well, that's what Harry did best, mesmerizing people. You know, if there was an audience there that was drawn to the characters that he wrote about and the stories that he wrote about, and of course his thing was story songs.
Yeah.
If there was an audience there that was drawn to that, he could, you know, he could just grip them in the palm of his hand and you know, totally mesmerize them, as you say.
Yeah, I mean, that's what Ronnie told me. He said it was just literally mesmerizing. He really was. You know, people, you just stop everything and just, like, watch them, you know, and just, you know, just have a reaction like, wow, this is incredible.
Well, I saw
all
that.
His songs were like, just like you said, all stories, you know, and like he was just a master storyteller.
Right, yeah. Well, I saw that for 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
800 plus concerts I
wow.
did with the people were just very drawn to the characters. I felt above all, you know, his beautiful songs and melodies and lyrics, but it was just the characters that he spoke about. I think that really was what his super fans related to. I think that's what gave him his cult following of his fan base.
I think so too. Yeah, he really touched on the everyday guy. That's what I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very well put. He did. Yeah. Absolutely. And Harry was himself an everyday guy. He prided himself on being an everyday guy and, you know, put himself out there as such, as, you know, often as an inspiration to people, not just other musicians trying to make it and songwriters trying to make it, but just to people in adverse situations that they could, you know, rise above.
Well, that's a very nice compliment. Very nice comment. Nice of you to say that. Very nice. You know, he's well missed. He really is. Let's get back to you.
Sure.
You've been writing for Modern Drummer magazine, of course, the Bible of the drum industry.
I was writing for them pretty regularly throughout the in the 80s and to the 90s, and then, but I haven't done an article for them in quite a while, but I'm happy to say that I just wrote my first article for them that's going to be published soon, and I have a couple of others in the works, so I'm happy to be doing that again. The reason I stopped in the early 90s, I stopped writing for them only because I got involved with the Cherry Lane Music Company, and I started doing a lot of transcription books for them, and before I knew it, I was doing transcription books for Warner Brothers, and so that really took me away from writing the articles.
Yeah, I can see that.
That was a great experience. And I recently got back into that end of the business. I wrote my first drum book in quite a few years. I did a stylistic analysis of Carter Beauford of the Dave Matthews Band.
Wow, that's incredible.
That was great. The drum transcriptions were all done, and all they wanted me to do was write 4 or 5 pages on a dozen different songs, dozen different transcriptions. So that should be out soon. It's been completed for quite a while, but it just lots of odds and ends that go into putting something out like that. So it should be done. It should be out and available pretty soon.
Sure. Now, if you have a website, you want to give us your website? So if someone wants to contact you or visit you or...
I'd love to. People can contact me through my website. It's rockpaper.net, just the way it sounds, rockpaper.net, rockpaper.net. And it actually doesn't have much to do with drumming. Another aspect of my life these days is I'm quite involved in rock memorabilia. I consider myself an archivist of rock history, and I'm quite involved with New York City, specifically New York City rock history. So a lot of the items I sell have to do with the New York City rock history. But the centerpiece of the business is Rolling Stone magazine. I'm an archivist as well of the magazine. I have a complete database of every article, record review, concert review, and advertisement that's ever been published in the magazine. And I have a stockpile of 8,000 plus issues of Rolling Stone.
Wow.
So I sell a lot of back issues, plus a lot of miscellaneous rock magazines. I've done a lot of research for VH1 and MTV. I've done things for CBS News. Authors, journalists, filmmakers, lots of different persons I do research for as a result of my Rock Paper website.
Terrific.
And certainly, if anybody wants to contact me regarding drumming, that's the way to get through to me as well.
Rockpaper.net.
That's right.
And you're also going to be doing something with Drum Radio.
That's right. Rick, I'm excited to have been invited to do that. The title of my article, and that'll be out in a forthcoming issue of Modern Drummer, is called Collapsed Paradiddles, and it's an original thought of Jim Chapin's. He showed it to me a few years ago, and I've experimented with it and got a lot of mileage out of it in different areas. And that's what the article is entitled, Collapsed Paradiddles, and I'm looking forward to doing an audio for you and hearing it out there on Drum Radio.
Terrific. Well, we're very excited to have you, and we want to thank you for coming on board. And it's very prestigious for us to have a man of your stature working with us and doing what we love doing, you know, spreading the word, man, spreading the word about drum fun and learning how to do. Howard Fields, thanks for sharing this this time with us on Drum Radio, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you, Drum Radio.